Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled Overview of the Times of the Gentiles, Daniel 7. Daniel 7 presents the same four world empires as did Daniel 2, only in the imagery of beasts, showing their true predatory character from God's perspective. The empires are vicious towards God's people in their persecution and treatment of Israel, which is reflective of their attitude towards God. Daniel 7 comes from a different perspective and gives more detail than Daniel 2. Daniel 7 provides the most comprehensive outline of prophetic history that we find in the Old Testament. It provides the major outline of what God is doing during the times of the Gentiles. Other books in the Old Testament add detail, as does the New Testament, and in particular, the book of Revelation. When something is repeated by God, it is there for emphasis. It shows the certainty of what is being brought out. Daniel was especially interested in the fourth beast, which represents Rome, and especially the last phase of the Roman Empire under Antichrist. This is portrayed as a nondescript beast. Daniel doesn't compare it to any known beast, but simply describes it as a ferocious monster. It is shown to be exceedingly destructive, devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling down. The beast is ruthless and cruel, whereas the previous kingdoms would often assimilate with other peoples and cultures in more moderate ways. The Roman Empire ruled through brute force. There was no give, only a Roman cross if you got out of line. Note that this fourth beast ultimately has 10 horns. Horns in the Bible speak of a position of strength and power. Rome never had 10 rulers ruling contemporaneously. Therefore, this is yet to be fulfilled. It refers to the final form of the Roman Empire, which is to yet merge under Antichrist. The Bible teaches the reality of a revived Roman Empire in the last days, in conjunction with the rising of Antichrist. Beast is the most common name in the Bible for the one called Antichrist. Revelation calls him the beast 37 times. Whereas the previous kingdoms were assimilated into the next kingdom, this fourth kingdom will come to an abrupt and final end, and then Christ will set up his kingdom. We read in Daniel 7, 13 and 14, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which will not be destroyed. Daniel 7, 13 and 14 is a clear messianic text. The title Son of Man was the title that Christ most often used for himself in the Gospels. The Messiah is called God's Son in Psalm 2, 7. But now, in Daniel, he is given a name that emphasizes his total identification with mankind. We definitely are living in the last days of the times of the Gentiles. We just don't know how many days there are left. But clearly, we are at the final point of the inspired outline, if you will, the inspired outline, which relates to the revived Roman Empire. This outline in Daniel 2 and 7 should serve as a great comfort to us in a world that is full of turmoil and no real friend of God's people. The Gentile masses and world governments have always been idolatrous in influence and predatory in nature towards God's people. But we know how the story ends. Daniel 7:18, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Saints means holy ones, those who are truly God's people. Some people take this in a very general sense because we know from other scriptures that various saints from a variety of dispensations will be represented in the kingdom. However, in Daniel, the emphasis is on believing Jews. The church was not in view in the Old Testament, And the perspective of the book is the times of the Gentiles, from which the Jewish people will ultimately find relief in the kingdom. We see in Daniel 2 and 7 an overview of Gentile world history from the time of Babylon to the second coming of Christ, called by Christ the times of the Gentiles. The last empire is Rome. It has two stages. Stage 1 was in place at Christ's first coming, and stage 2 under Antichrist, the revived Roman Empire, will be in place at Christ's second coming. The conflict between Jew and Gentile has been in view ever since Genesis 12 with the call of Abraham, who was the first man called a Hebrew in Genesis 14:13. Ultimately, the greatest man who has ever lived was a Jew. Indeed, he was the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ. But the fact is, his humanity is accounted for in terms of Jewishness. He was the son of Abraham, the son of David. On the other hand, the greatest man of the Gentiles is yet to come forth. He will be the Antichrist. He will be the greatest man that is ever brought forth by the Gentiles in terms of power and characteristics that appeal to the flesh. He is the Gentile champion of champions. In the end, there will be a showdown between this champion of the Gentiles and the man of the Jews called Jesus. The Antichrist will claim to be God, while Jesus Christ is in fact God Almighty, come in the flesh. The final showdown will clearly demonstrate who the real God is and who is not. Thus, the times of the Gentiles will come to an end. Israel will be converted, the Jewish Messiah will reign supreme, and Israel will have the prominent place in the kingdom. Never again will Israel be trodden down by the Gentiles. Now Israel will be the head and not the tail. Hosea 3, 4 and 5, "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, and without ephod or teraphim. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek their Lord, their God, and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." We are still in the many days when Israel does not have a king. Zechariah 9:9 prophesied that the king would come lowly, riding on a donkey. Thus Christ as the Messiah presented himself as the promised Davidic king. This was Shiloh, the one who has the right to rule. However, instead of being given a royal crown, he was given a crown of thorns and cut off. However, that's not the end of the story. Zechariah 9:10 goes on to show this king will have a worldwide dominion from sea to sea. And we know this will happen at the second coming. In Luke 1, Gabriel told Mary that her son would be named Jesus and that he would be great and called the Son of the Highest. And then he said, quote, "The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." A father saw a light beneath the door of his son's room, wondering what the boy was doing at such a late hour. He approached the door and heard his son saying, "If you only knew what I know." Come to find out later, the boy was reading a scary book and he'd gotten to the middle where the plot was getting thicker and the good guy was being outrageously abused and disgraced. Meanwhile, it seemed as though the villain seemed to be winning and gloating in his triumph. The father didn't know it, but when the boy finally couldn't stand it any longer, he had turned to the back of the book to see how the story was going to turn out. There he saw that the good guy was gloriously vindicated and the villain punished. Then he went back to the middle of the dark plot, but now instead of agonizing, he was rejoicing because he knew the outcome in advance, and therefore he was saying, "If you only knew what I know." If you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will know, and I trust you know what I know. I read the back of the book, and Jesus wins, and all those in Christ win. Revelation 11:5 says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" Amen. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.